Hi, I'm Naomi. I'm 36. I was on the fence about pregnancy and all I heard was not having children is kind of selfish and your body clock isn't going to wait forever. But now I'm pregnant, it's alone time will never be the same, you know. Yeah, I do know. Thanks. But despite deciding to baby, there's still so much more to find out from both camps. So here's a podcast on the Secret Recordings Network where I chat to baby wanters, baby rejecters, and everything in between to see why we decide to baby or not to baby. In this episode, I chat to Ang Harrod, aka at This Bristol Brood on Instagram, who is our far-flung travelling mum.
We saw lots of people out there with newborns, and I remember thinking, God, why didn't we do this? Because the little tiny baby that's not going anywhere is just a perfect little travel companion, really.
And I'm joined on this journey by my sister and best friend, Camilla.
No requests this week, so howdy, partner.
This one goes out to the US of A.
Absolutely.
Now, we touched a little bit on this in last week's episode. So I'm so excited to meet the baby. And I am genuinely, which might sound weird, and again, I think we have talked about this before, I'm not really scared of the childbirth thing. Of course, it will be frightening and intense, I imagine, when I'm in it, but that's not the bit that scares me. I am, however, starting to get quite terrified about actually parenting and actually having this tiny newborn thing that is entirely dependent on me for survival.
I think that's perfectly normal.
Like, even saying that out loud, it makes me sweat.
Well, of course it's terrifying. You've never done it before.
I know, but is that normal? Like, does everyone feel this terrified?
I think so. I think I was a little bit naive about some of it, but I think everyone is terrified that they won't know what to do because nobody, it doesn't matter how many books people give you, how many books you read, nobody prepares you for the absolute explosion of having a baby in your life. Everything is a learning curve, but I think that's just how you've got to treat it. I am learning about you. You are a new person that I'm going to look after and we're going to learn about each other. It's all going to be fine.
Oh, that's a really nice way of putting it. Because actually, one of the problems is that I'm reading loads of books and they're putting the bloody fear of God in me that I'm going to just fuck this thing up.
Don't read too much. Honestly, don't read too much because I do think that that scares you even more. And also, you'll think, oh, but I read that this is how it's done and I read that this is what I'm supposed to do. But every baby is different.
I'm reading the book that I bought for you that my therapist said is a really good book. And I understand from a therapy point of view, it probably is a really good book. It's called Why Love Matters. Yeah. And it's all about the importance of loving and nurturing a baby in those early years so that they have secure attachments and they grow up to be confident, wonderful young people. But basically, there's so much stuff in there of like, oh, well, if this happens and if you're anxious or if you have postnatal depression, then basically there's evidence to say that that's probably going to fuck it up.
Do you know, I felt exactly the same about that book. It's a really good book, but I felt exactly the same. And me and you have both suffered, well, you more with anxiety, me more with depression. And I remember thinking, blimmin' heck, the first trimester with Chester, my hormones were ridiculous and I was well down and I was thinking, oh God, this is, but you just can't think like that. You've just got to remember we're all human. We're all human. We're not perfect. And no baby is going to become perfect just because we don't have any anxiety or depression all the way through our pregnancy. That's not how it works, as far as I'm concerned.
If necessary, I'll just have to invest in therapy in future life and that'll be okay. We're okay.
Hey, everyone should go to therapy anyway.
So true.
So my name is Ang Harrod Paul and I have a family travel blog that focuses a lot on Bristol but also our family travels around the globe. I have a husband and two girls aged 6 and 4.
And an impending arrival, right?
Oh yes, I forgot about that bit. Yes, I have a third one on the way. Goodness me, completely went out of my mind.
I know that baby brain is real, but that's wow.
I'm very stupid at the moment.
So how far are you at the minute?
I will be 16 weeks tomorrow.
Okay, and how are you feeling?
I I'm still feeling quite sick, actually, and have
been
sick for a long time. It's my golden week is week 17, so I'm really hoping things are going to pick up miraculously.
Okay.
Yeah,
because mine definitely took until week 16, and week 16 was the turning point for me. So I feel like the end of the tunnel is so close now.
So close, yes.
So before we talk about kind of parenting and traveling with kids, tell me about what your life was like before you had children.
Oh, those were the days. it's crazy, isn't it, to think back before kids. Well, my husband and I loved to travel. And for example, we spent our honeymoon traveling around Africa for 4 months, followed by a little ski season on the side before we had to do any kind of responsible settling down. So it was always a big part of our lives. And we didn't really want to stop that when we had kids. And we might have gone into it slightly naively, because we did think to ourselves, oh, you know, we'll just have a baby and then take the baby along with whatever we do. And yes, we try as much to do that as much as possible, but there are slight more logistical challenges now. But we didn't want to be put off by them, and we've done quite a lot of holidaying with them when they were little. And I'd say that was the best time to go as well, when they are really little, before they can walk and start, you know, crawling around an aeroplane and things like that.
Had you always wanted to have children? Like, did you have like a conversation where you were like, right, we're going to have children, and but we can still carry on doing our lives as they are now?
Yes, we both always wanted kids, and got pregnant just sort of after we'd come back from that big trip away to Africa. And it felt like I'm so glad that we'd had that time traveling together and just making the most of that time as a couple without kids. And the thing is, now having kids, we just wanted to experience that with them as much as possible. And even though it's slightly different, there is still so much, you know, fun to be had while traveling with them and seeing it through their eyes as well.
Yeah. When you first found out you were pregnant, or when you were talking about being able to go and travel with kids, were there kind of naysayers and people going, you won't be able to do this anymore?
Yes. Yes, definitely. They do get into your head a lot as well. But I think we both sort of come from, I'm one of three and he's one of four. And our families had always taken us away camping when we were younger. And that had never stopped them. And camping's one of those things that actually people aren't sure of to do with the baby and young kids quite a lot of the time. But I think because we'd had that experience, we were both like, no, we can do it, we can do it. And we're just really, really keen to. Plus, there was the whole sort of maternity side of it. And when we did go to Thailand, the thought that occurred to me was just like, well, I've got, you know, a couple of months left of maternity leave, I've got all this spare time. If you can get some time off work, this would be the perfect opportunity to go traveling while we're not trying to, you know, balance it with holiday allowance and things like that.
What were you doing in terms of a job before and in the early days of when you had your kids?
I was working in marketing for a design company when I had my first one. And then for my second, I was working for Visit Bristol. But I'd been working for Sawdays before that. And so travel and visiting places had always been very high on my agenda. And I'd been running a blog since we'd done our honeymoon to Africa. So wherever we went, I'd always write it up, take loads of photos and give my tips and, you know, travel inspiration, hopefully, to people on the internet.
Yeah. Aside from the travel side of it, how did you find, you know, the first pregnancy and those early days of parenthood? Because like you said, you and your husband were both, you know, definitely, yes, we want to have kids. But in terms of the reality of that, when the kids were here, what was it like?
Well, we like to make it as hard as possible for ourselves. So we had been looking for a house, and when I was pregnant, and managed to get one when I was 8 months pregnant, but it needed a full refurb. It was pretty unlivable. So we ended up having to move in with my in-laws for 6 months. We weren't in by Christmas like we'd hoped. And so when I went into labour, we had to stay in a hotel in Bristol where I was booked in to have the baby.
No way!
A labourcation, I called it. It was a bit of a crazy time. They were really lovely, the hotel. It was the Avon Gorge, so we had a lovely view over the suspension bridge. luckily they had a room free, and we sort of arrived with a massive gym ball and, you know, those weird pregnancy cushions and stuff, and traipsed them all through the hotel. And then we had to go back to his parents' house and start life with a newborn, which felt completely out of our depth. We didn't know what on earth we were doing. And also having to do it in front of people, you know, which felt like, oh, you know, you always think you might be doing something wrong and they know. And so, yeah, it was very tricky and weird start to parenting life.
So how long were you with the in-laws before you then actually made it into your new home?
About 6 months altogether. Okay. Also, we left when the baby was 4 months. And okay. Then we were really ready to get into our own space. And I'm sure they were as well.
Dan, please tell me what you've just presented me with in bed.
Special treat tonight, as it's about 30 degrees in here. A nice cold flannel, little damp cold flannel. And the piece de resistance is a wheat bag that's been in the freezer. Get you nice and cold, baby.
You treat me good, you do, don't you? So after you'd had baby number one, what was your first holiday?
I think Mallorca was her first holiday. And that was just perfect. You know, really easy flight on the plane. It's only about 3 or 4 hours. And we'd gone with my parents, so we did have an extra pair of hands. And the weather was perfect. Yeah, it was just a brilliant holiday to me.
How old was she at this point?
I think she was 9 months old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's quite interesting, actually, because for somebody who loves traveling, I feel like 9 months is quite a long because honestly, the last kind of 7.5 months of being pregnant, but this last year, not being able to go on holiday, it's painful to me.
Yeah.
So I imagine for you, who has travelled quite a lot, actually 9 months is quite a long time to not go on holiday.
Yes. And I'm just trying to rack my brains to think if there was anywhere before then. The second one, however, she was 4 weeks old when she first went on holiday to France. So I think we sort of nailed it, what we were doing by then. And, you know, when we booked the tickets, we were travelling by ferry, so it's a bit more relaxed than plane, but we didn't have a name because she wasn't born, and so you just sort of whack on an extra person and then give them the passport details. And it all hinged on the fact that we'd be able to get her a baby passport in time to go, and when I gave birth to this booked holiday. So that was very soon after.
Everything that I've read about traveling with small people is that actually if you can go before they're 6 months, that's better. But logistically, because of when baby is going to be born, if we want to go somewhere warm for a kind of beach style holiday, then you've got to go far flung. You can't go within Europe, because by March, between, you know, October and March, there's not a European destination where you're going to get that kind of sunshiny beach weather potentially.
Yeah, I mean, we'd done the UK holidays, and I think because of the time of year and the fact we had the house renovations going on, that kind of made the holiday initially. But when we went to Thailand, they were 10 months and 3. We saw lots of people out there with newborns, and I remember thinking, God, why didn't we do this when they were little, because, you know, like really tiny, do anything, whereas, you know, we were still having to do quite a lot of entertaining, especially with the 3-year-old. The 10-month-old was just starting to walk and things like that, whereas a little tiny baby that's not going anywhere and, you know, is just a perfect little travel companion, really.
tell me about the Thailand trip. So talk me through, because I feel like some people will hear that and go, oh my God, a 3-year-old and a 10-month-old on a long haul flight. Because I think the flight as well is one of those things that is a big barrier in it. Because once you get to the destination, then I feel like maybe you can figure out the logistics a little bit easier. But that long haul flight. So tell me everything about it.
Well, we'd actually been to Mauritius a few months before that, because for my mum's 60th birthday. And so we went when they were 7 months, the baby was 7 months, and done a long haul flight then. And that was perfect because she was just unable to, she wasn't walking then. It was an overnight flight. She just about squeezed in one of those, I don't know if you've seen them, the sort of baby cots that airplanes give families for babies. So we could have one of those so I didn't have to have her constantly on my lap. And because it was overnight, we basically just had to get them to go to sleep and then arrive at the destination and with a bit of milk and, you know, we'd just go back to sleep.
Because even as you say that, though, Angharad, the all you have to do is get them to go to sleep. Yeah. But actually, with small people, that's not always easy.
Yes. Well, we were with a couple of other families, and one of my friends had a baby exactly the same age, and her and I were very lucky, sat next to each other with the babies, just sort of doing that all night long. It didn't get a lot of sleep, to be honest, but the baby wasn't screaming all night long. So
yeah,
I counted that as a win. And the toddler was just at the point where she could watch, you know, for a good amount of time, a movie on an iPad and then go to sleep. So it wasn't too much of a problem. I did, my other friend who was there did have more issues with hers, and they were sort of trying to get the night garden up on, you know, on their iPad and entertain her. She wouldn't quite fit in the crib, but there was a lot of walking up and down the aisles. I was glad that wasn't me. For the Thailand flight, it was probably one of the worst flights of my whole life. I'm not going to lie. But mainly because I was so ill. And probably shouldn't have been flying, but it only sort of happened at the airport. And I had some sort of sickness. But
no!
So, oh, it was horrendous. And trying to look after a 10-month-old who is starting to walk and is too big for the bassinet by that point. So she only could go on my lap. That was a lot harder. The thing is, the Thai people, they just love kids so much. And it was great because other passengers on the plane would sort of be entertaining my 3-year-old. They let the 3-year-old lie down next to them on the plane seats,
you know,
spread out. I was meanwhile trying to lie on the floor, just which isn't allowed. Something to do with oxygen levels, I don't know. But it was hellish. But we made it. We made it through. And then on the way back, it was much easier. But being, the problem is having to have a baby on your lap for all that time. And even when you're trying to eat and things like that, that's what makes it tricky. But like you say, it's just to get through the flight and then the end result is what you're after. The destination. Keep the destination in mind.
Yeah. What like, did you get any kind of negative reactions from other, or not necessarily negative reactions from other passengers and travellers, but people kind of being like, oh, you know, I'm surprised you're doing this with these little kids?
On the long haul flights, no, not really at all that I was aware of. We've had shorter flights. We went to Ibiza when my little one was toddling, and that is the trickiest age to travel because all she wanted to do was walk up and down the plane, which is a bit tricky. And every time I tried to put her back in her seat, she sort of kick out, and she managed to kick someone in the head while they were asleep. And I didn't notice, so I didn't even apologize, but my partner told me later on. Those shorter ones I'd actually found harder than the long haul, but like I said, the Thai people especially, they were just so friendly, and they'd sort of just like play peekaboo with the kids and sort of just be really welcoming towards them. So no, I never had any of that on the long haul.
the Thailand one, for example, once you got to the destination, how easy was life to kind of manage when you were there in terms of like jet lag and being able to get the kind of supplies and things that you would need for the kids?
Yeah, Thailand was amazingly well set up for families. And I wish they did this in Britain, because they give families priority in queues at the airport, seating wise. So it was amazing. You wouldn't get that if you rocked up to Heathrow being sent in front of the queue. You
know, true.
So they'd just be like, right, you go through. And so that was really easy. The jet lag, it took a few days to settle in, but I don't remember it being a massive problem. I think we just used to sleep when we could, and we made sure we sort of took the traveling quite slowly and stopped off at places. We weren't just, you know, missioning through like we would have done when we were just a couple, and taking the cheapest, easiest options at whatever time of night. We sort of planned what time we're gonna arrive, probably paid a bit more money to get a particular flight time and things like that. And we were taking the kids on tuk-tuks, and there's no seat belts or anything out there, so I sort of just strapped the baby onto me. And the supplies, because it's so tourist friendly and set up for tourists, we managed to get, you know, formula and nappies, you know, all sorts that while we were out there. So yeah, I was really impressed with it. And we'd also taken loads of supplies, so we'd packed a whole suitcase full of sort of Ella's pouches and all of that. We would have those as a backup. I think that was half our weight in travel, but luckily it was a hot destination, so we didn't need a lot of clothes.
Camilla, Chester's first holiday.
Yeah.
Tell me all about it.
It was amazing. He was 5 months old, and we went to a beautiful place called Tavira in Portugal. We'd never been, just randomly found it. We just had the best time. He was a great age for it. I was really worried about the plane journey, but it was great. And me and Ed are always obsessed with Love Island. I mean, he won't like me saying that.
It's out there.
So we brought him home at a decent time, popped him down in the room, and we sat on the balcony, got a subscription to ITV Hub, watched Love Island and ordered room service, desserts and cocktails. And yeah, Bob's your uncle. I mean, what dreams are made of?
Mil, that is literally the dream. And this is my thing. So basically, I have been pestering Dan like no one's business for us to go to Barbados in February. And I know that some people, including you actually, Mil, were a bit like, ooh, long haul with a baby, eek, you know. But then loads of people, like you said, Chester at 5.5 months, that was a great time to travel with him. He couldn't go anywhere on the plane. You could still put him down.
If you're going to do it, like, do it with a really tiny baby.
But then Dan is not up for it. So basically, I'm the holiday daydreamer. I'm the, oh my God, let's go on all these amazing trips and it's going to be great. And he's like, oh, well, coronavirus, and there might not be a vaccine by then. And what about supplies? And if anything happens, and he's just a real bloody killjoy on the holiday vibes.
The little devil on your shoulder.
He said to me, he was like, well, I need to see some evidence that this is a good idea. So I literally did all the research, sent it to him. He's still not on board. It's bloody coronavirus's fault.
Is that what his main problem is, coronavirus?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what everyone's main problem is, isn't it, at the minute?
I know. God, I wish it'd just piss off. In terms of planning the holiday, so versus how you would plan a holiday before, how much is it like a military operation trying to plan a holiday with kids?
We used to rock up before to places. We'd been to Thailand as a couple before kids, and we didn't book a single thing in advance and just sort of winged it our entire way. Whereas this time I'd booked every single place, done loads of research and just made sure that, you know, there were family friendly things to do in the area. But we managed to sort of change a few things around while we were out there and just sort of go with it a bit as well. I think the problem was when we went, it was really, really hot, and I hadn't factored that in. It was sort of 40 degrees, so it was almost too hot to stand on the beach at that point, which takes out sort of half your entertainment for the day. I could have done with it planning it a little cooler time in the year, but I was just doing it around my maternity leave at the time, so we just went with what we got.
Yeah. So the kind of traveling you've been able to do with your children, like, how common do you think that is with other people doing that? Like, do you find, because I imagine if you're blogging about it, maybe people get in contact with you and either they're like, oh yeah, great, we do this as well, or people maybe get in contact with you and go, oh, I wish I could feel like I could do these things, but I haven't done it. Or
I think I see both sides, because I follow a lot of travel bloggers myself, and so there's a huge range there from me watching other people do it a lot with their kids. So I know one family, Travelin' Family, they are on Instagram, and they've taken their kids, well, they used to live in India, then they took their kids on a road trip in Africa, and they're always doing really big travel-y trips like that, you know, going to Morocco. And so I see that, and I think, oh, that's so adventurous, I want to do more of that traveling. And I also have people messaging me going, oh, can you, you know, we want to do some of the stuff that you've done, can you give me some advice? So I see, you know, the adventurous families and the ones that are also aspiring to be like that.
Have you had any kind of trips with the children or holidays where it maybe hasn't gone to plan and you have thought, oh God, why are we putting ourselves through this?
Well, I mean, we haven't thought why are we putting ourselves through this. But for example, the Thailand one, we ended up in hospital with our youngest, the 10-month-old, because she got a bacterial infection. So we actually spent 4 days in hospital, I think it was.
Crikey.
So yeah, it was quite scary at the time, but they looked after us so well, and luckily our insurance had covered it all. But that was a sort of sun spanner in the works. We were all in a hospital room together. She was hooked up to a drip, and every time she turned over, it was sort of set this alarm off and things like that. But it's, you just sort of put it down to one of those travel experiences, and I look back on that trip, and that was one of the things that happened, but it didn't define the trip, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's funny, because actually with Dan, one of his things about us potentially traveling with the baby is, what if the baby is ill, or what if something happens, and then what is the healthcare like when you are abroad in whatever country that may be?
Yeah. It hadn't even really occurred to us that that could be something that happened. But when we were out there, we did meet another couple, and their kid had also been in hospital, but they were still traveling on, and they were, you know, he'd recovered and was happy. And I think if you go somewhere that is really geared up for tourists, like Thailand is, and so dependent on tourism, then the hospital care we received was so good. There is always something to factor in. I always have a lot of cowpole packed in my bag.
So what would be your tips for anyone who's maybe thinking about having children and wanting to be able to go and do the traveling, or maybe has got children and is wanting to do it?
I think just go for it, really. Pick somewhere you're dying to go, and then look on the internet, because there's so many family travel bloggers out there who put up really helpful itineraries of where they've been, where they've stayed, and you can really see someone else's experience, how they got on, even eat where they've eaten, check out their photos. I often put on, you know, where we found our supplies for nappies and things out in Thailand, and sort of formula brands we use, because that's all the sort of information that I wanted to know when I was planning our trip to Thailand. And then just going for it and booking it, and trying not to worry about the things that could go wrong. I know it's a bit tricky these days with the pandemic, but there are lots of families still going abroad at the moment, and putting their experiences of travel during the pandemic online as well. So that would be my main starting point, I think.
So obviously at this stage, you're only, like you say, 16 weeks pregnant. Do you have any, apart from the big kind of dream Africa trip, do you have any holidays in the works or in the planning stages?
At the moment, we've only got the Scilly Isles in there. Okay. So that's fairly close to home. But I've really got my eye on Greece at the moment. I think I've been watching too much Mamma Mia and just... my daughters are really into it at the moment. And just looking at that sort of sparkling water has really got me wanting to go to Greece as our next destination.
I absolutely love her attitude, but I'm not going to lie. There were quite a few parts of that that made me go... Oh, that would be so awful.
Yeah.
Like being on the plane with a stomach bug with children.
Oh my God.
To look after. I just can't. Yeah, that would just be horrific.
Genuinely, the thought of being on a plane with a stomach bug without children is awful.
Yes. And that has happened to me, actually. On the way to Mum's 60th, can you remember? Horrific. If I'd have had a little child to look after or a baby, oh my God, it would have been awful.
Two things, I don't remember it because I wasn't there because I had to fly out later than you. And second thing, that was actually Mum's 50th, so you prematurely aged her by 10 years.
Oh, sorry, Mum. Sorry, Mum.
She'll be raging. She'll be absolutely raging.
But also, when she described standing in 40-degree heat on the beach, I was like, whoa, no. I don't want to be anywhere that's 40 degrees with a child.
Yeah, and as well, do you know what I have? Like, you know, when you're all hot and sweaty and sticky, the thought of picking up another hot, sweaty, sticky person, yeah, which inevitably they will want to be picked up, mm-hmm, and having that extra hot, sweaty stickiness on you.
Yeah, it's really hard looking after little sweaty people when you're a big, sweaty person. I don't like the heat anyway. All these people that are like, oh, I'd love to go and live in wherever. And I'm like, I can't think of anything worse. Over 25 degrees is a waste for me. If I can go out without my coat on, I'm happy. No, this is making me paint this a really negative light. Like, I think it's some of the stuff that Angharad describes sounds great. Like Thailand and how family friendly they are. And I just think, wow, how brilliant to give them those experiences. I think that's absolutely fantastic. But personally, I think I'd find it really hard.
Well, I'll let you know how I get on with Barbados in February and we can go from there.
Absolutely.
Follow my journey and tell us about your own on social media. We are at To Baby or Not. If you rate and review this podcast, not only will it really help us out, but it will guarantee that your baby will sleep like a baby for the entire duration of that long haul flight.
Next time on To Baby or Not To Baby.
It's what I've always thought I wanted, and it's what you've spent the last however many episodes talking about. But then when it actually happens, I don't think you can ever prepare yourself for that feeling.